The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You're welcome to be seated. If you feel puzzled by this parable, you're not alone. Careful readers of Scripture for centuries wondered why in the world Jesus commends this dishonest or shrewd manager. Recently, I heard a suggestion that helped me see this parable in a whole new way. One person compared the dishonest wealth that Jesus mentions to the fate of Confederate currency near the end of the Civil War. As the prospect of a Confederate victory declined, those bills, the cash, and the coins became increasingly worthless, prompting the holders to spend them freely in the hope of purchasing something, anything, before the money held no value whatsoever. So also, the dishonest wealth of the parable. In fact, a better translation might be the wealth of unrighteousness, that is, the wealth of the kingdom of the world that is in decline and that will not be victorious. Such wealth, according to Jesus, has limited value and so should be spent freely now before it is too late. Moreover, it should be spent in a way that secures your future beyond the crumbling confederacy that we call the world. And the only way to do that, according to Jesus throughout Luke's gospel, is to use that fading wealth to help those in need. They alone have been guaranteed a place in God's kingdom, and therefore, as you help them, you also help yourself. For this reason, the rich man commends his dishonest manager. He has recognized the fragility of his place in the world, realized that he has little time left to exercise stewardship over wealth of any kind, recognized that the value of all he once prized has diminished so significantly, and he has determined to use what little time and opportunity is left to him to try to help himself by helping those in need. Now, rewinding, those of you who were with us last week might remember that I told you that the parables of Jesus are meant to make us think. Parables are thinkers, thinking stories. The problem is, instead of thinking too deeply on this one or considering what's going on and what's at stake, we prefer to attempt to make this parable into merely a life lesson. I kind of did that at the beginning of the sermon. Perhaps this parable speaks loudest to those of us who think that good behavior is the answer to everything. But what we believe to be good behavior is not the answer in this parable, and so that trips us up, it throws us off. Remember, a parable's power lies in its ability to shock us into laying our revered values at the foot of the cross. God's salvation does not act the way we expect it to. A baby in a manger arrives to bring a new world order, fulfilling the prophecies of old, but not looking anything like the Messiah that was expected. I put the Cross of Glory congregation on the spot this morning, so I'm going to do the same to you. What was the Messiah supposed to look like? Go ahead, yell out ideas. What were they expecting out of their Messiah?
A king.
A king. And not just a king, a warrior king. Someone who would slay their enemies, who would finally bring the people, the promised ones, to their place of power and glory. Nothing like the Messiah we expected, this Jesus in a manger, a baby, weak and lowly. I mean, he wasn't even born into any means. His parents were not wealthy people. They weren't just on an extravagant trip and ended up with some car trouble along the way and so had to spend the night in somebody's garage where there were dogs around. That's not what happened. What happened is Jesus went with his parents and they ended up in that manger. That theme continues throughout Jesus' lifetime. It follows him into adulthood. He tells us this parable. And it shocks our senses. How can this dishonest manager be forgiven? That's not what we're expecting. However, if we recognize the rich man as God, we see that God forgives us no matter what, and perhaps especially when we've acted out of desperation. You see, this dishonest manager is desperate. You might have missed it in the reading. Did you catch it? He's going to lose his job. Think for a moment what your life would be like if you were about to lose your livelihood. I realize that not all of us are workers anymore. Some of us are, thankfully, gratefully, in retirement. But imagine if you woke up one morning and you found out that your pension was gone. Wow. Your livelihood won't be there anymore. That is the situation the dishonest manager is in. He is desperate. He sees the writing on the wall. He knows he's losing his job, his title, his status. And when people are desperate, they do things that are irrational and that would be considered immoral in normal circumstances. But in desperation, we do what we need to do to survive. When we are desperate, we do not consider the effects of our actions on others. This is the same bottom line that Jesus has been teaching his disciples since the beginning. There is no one who is unredeemable. There is nothing in our human experience which is irreversible if we trust in God. We humans have used our memory, our reason, and our skill to survive through famine and plague, through war and natural disasters. And there have been times when we are more or less successful at using our ingenuity to get through crisis. But what happens too often is that we use our skills and ability to try to hustle God. And when we're honest with ourselves, to hustle ourselves too. We begin to think that through our own hard work, our determination, our own skill, that we will be able to find a way out of suffering, a way to make sure that our own needs are met. You see, we lie to ourselves, telling ourselves that good deeds will buy our way out of the suffering we deserve. The truth is that there is only one way out of suffering, only one way out of sin, only one way into a right relationship with God. That is through confession, restoration, and God's abounding grace. What Jesus is teaching us in today's gospel is complex, but it includes the same basic lesson that he has been teaching his disciples all along. God's love is for all people, the lost, the sinful, the disloyal, the desperate, and that all of us have a place at the table. Each and every one of us can be found in the parables. All of our actions can be redeemed. All of our sins may be forgiven. All of our relationships will be healed. Every time Jesus was confronted with the question of who is in and who is out in the world to come, Jesus responded with, "Yes, them too." No one is separated from God's love, and no one means no one. All of us are redeemable. All of us have the opportunity to change our behaviors, to change our expectations, to change our approach to the world around us. It's never too late. And that is the hope of today's gospel message. God's love is infinite, and God's forgiveness is equally expansive. Jesus reminds us through this complicated parable that we are all forgiven, and all means all, even if we don't particularly like it. Alleluia and amen.